following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome, everyone, to the JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. Well, everybody, we've got a Saturday night football game on our hands. Crazy stuff. Three more games left in the regular season. A lot to play for, a lot to look forward to. Should be a fun one. Tom, let's dive into some transactional related news before we hit on the Carolina Panthers game this upcoming weekend.
Sounds good.
We'll start with interesting news about running back Aaron Jones. So Jones becomes a free agent in 2021. He was previously represented by Lee Steinberg, however, announced this week that Jones has switched agents to Drew Rosenhaus. So he's new representation. What does that imply about the status of the negotiations that are going on as Jones seeks a new deal with the Packers?
I know a couple people who've know something about it, a little bit about it. And it sounds like Jones or someone in Jones's camp, maybe his family, just got tired of waiting, got a little bit impatient, and decided the plan that his previous agents had, they didn't want to abide by that anymore and were eager to get something done. And I'm not sure what that plan was. It might have been for them to negotiate during the season, and then when the season's over, they figure something out before free agency. Or they do it based on, you know, what kind of season he was having. And for whatever reason, it sounds like it was his family just decided they wanted to move on. And so there's always the lure of a big name like Drew Rosenhaus. And he has a big reputation for stealing clients. And who knows how that happened. You know, usually how this kind of stuff happens is there's a guy in the locker room who has this agent and says, well, man, if you're frustrated, you should come to my agent, you know, and I'll get you in touch with him. And that's kind of how it works. So I don't know if they're starting over, but the one thing about Drew Rosenhaus is he gets deals done. He doesn't believe in holdouts. He's all about getting the deal done, gets money in his pocket faster, I guess. And he's good at what he does. So I would think that there's a better chance that Jones will be signed, you know, before free agency. I don't know if the plan's going to change at all, but it does sound like the Packers are interested and have been interested in doing it.
Okay, so that's a pretty optimistic view of the future of Aaron Jones in Green Bay. So that's that on that. And we'll continue to give you updates as we hear any over on the podcast, PackersNews.com, all the good stuff. Let's look at the state of the team right now. I mean, aside from the fact that the Packers just put three players on injured reserve, so just suspend the reality of, I suppose, what the situation really is, the rest of the roster, the active 53 at the moment, is quite healthy. The Packers only have three players listed on the injury report heading into this Sunday. The game is on Saturday, not Sunday.
Yeah.
Heading into this Sunday's game. One of them that have already
just said Sunday again.
Oh my God. What is happening? Oh my gosh. You'd think it's like midnight the way that I've been like functioning this week. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I'm not really sure what day it is either because the Packers schedule shifted.
I'm so messed up. Anyway, so Saturday night's game, tight end Jay Sternberger has been ruled out with a concussion. He has been in concussion protocol since he exited the week 13 matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. He left that game in the second quarter. Sternberger has not been seen from nor heard from in the last couple of weeks. How concerning is it at this point that Sternberger is not out of concussion protocol as someone that has a history of concussions and of just injuries in general over the last 2 years?
Yeah, it is kind of concerning that he had the concussion in the joint practices with Houston last year, and now he has it again. I don't know what his history was in college. Sometimes, you know, concussions are kind of like COVID. They affect everybody differently. Some guys, it's mild and they get over it. And his, I remember seeing it happen. He got kicked in the head, I think. And so, you know, they're not going to put him back up. They're not going to put him on the field till he's ready. And there's tight protocols there. As far as what this means for him, it's not good. You know, his season has kind of just fallen through his fingertips. It seemed like it was really slow going, and then it seemed like it was picking up a little bit, and then this happened. And, you know, I don't know what, I'm sure he'll be back this year, but I don't know what he's going to be able to contribute.
This has been a tough year at the tight end position for the Packers. Typically in some offenses around the league, two tight ends, they'd get by. It would be enough. But in head coach Matt LaFleur's offense, they use the tight end a lot. And to have two healthy tight ends, now three healthy tight ends after adding practice squad call-up Dominique Daphne to the active 53 permanently, they need all those players. You saw Josiah DeGuara go out, John Lovett out. They've been dropping like flies back there. So and now Sternberger's been dealing with some stuff.
Yeah, I wonder, boy, if DeGuara had stayed healthy, what kind of offense they would have. He was really promising player. And, you know, the way he was being used as a fullback, as a wide receiver, as a tight end, that would have been interesting to see. They'd almost have, you know, too many targets. But you're right, the tight end positions get a little thin. The main thing, though, is Lewis and Tanyan have stayed healthy.
And that is what's most important. And hopefully they can continue to stay healthy, not only in these last few games, but also as the Packers embark upon the playoffs in just a few weeks. So enough of the now and the past. Let's look ahead to the present. We'll do our previously on, as if we're on a reality TV show, previously on Packers versus Carolina Panthers. It wasn't that long ago since the Packers saw the Panthers last season, week 10. They won against the Panthers last season, 24-16. You may remember, Tom, this game, the Panthers game last season, was the game immediately following the Packers' stinker of a loss against the Los Angeles Chargers on the road. So they were coming off of a really bad loss, had a little bit of a fire underneath of them against the Panthers. And Christian McCaffrey was healthy in this past universe of 2019. And going into that game, he finished with an unbelievable season, but at the time he was on pace for 2,488 yards. He ended up finishing with 2,392 all-purpose yards last season, which is the third most in NFL history. And he tied Aaron Jones in touchdowns. Yeah. So a lot has changed with the Panthers since last season. Namely, well, I guess this isn't even the biggest change, but McCaffrey's not healthy. He has missed 10 games this season. Currently, he is dealing with a thigh injury, and he is listed as doubtful to play this upcoming weekend against the Packers. So it's not looking so good for McCaffrey. And then, of course, the big coaching change as well. So Ron Rivera was fired mid-2019 going into the last four games of the regular season, and then the Panthers announced that they had hired Baylor head coach Matt Rhule to replace him. And so far it hasn't, I mean, listen, they're 4-9, they're bottom of the NFC South. I suppose maybe Packers fans, you've been spoiled by success under a new head coach and head coach Matt LaFleur this past season. However, the Rhule regime going a little bit slower. They've totally cleared house, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, who's, you know, starting quarterback for the first time since 2015 when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. So what can Packers fans expect different this time around from the Carolina Panthers?
Well, the biggest thing is probably going to be defensively, that this is going to be a different kind of a defense than what Ron Rivera had. They're going to throw a lot of things at you. They're not, they're a little bit unpredictable. And so this will be a game where, you know, Rodgers will be tested a little bit. He's going to want to get, try to get Panthers to show what they're doing prior to the snap. So he'll be using the hard count a lot. And he's just got to stay within himself and not try to do too much because, you know, they got some guys, it's their, you know, their pass rush is pretty good. And if you kind of get them, let them get rolling, then it can be kind of a long day. And I, you know, there's yards to be made in their secondary, but if you don't block them, if you don't, you know, get ahead on Brian Burns and Jeremy Chinn and Shaq Thompson, you know, they'll get some sacks on. So I think that's kind of what we'll be seeing. Maybe they'll be stressing the run a little bit more in this game than they have.
Tom is being very kind to the Carolina Panthers defense. And I think, yes, defensive end Brian Burns and linebacker Jeremy Chinn are probably the two bright spots of this Panthers defense. Burns has 6 sacks this season and 3 forced fumbles. Chinn lines up literally everywhere across the field, except for perhaps the defensive line. But he has 94 tackles, leads the team, 5 pass breakups and 2 forced fumbles, including 2 fumble recoveries for touchdowns this season. So 2 pretty good players, but overall this defense ranked 20th in points, 29th in interceptions, 28th in completion percentage, 26th in passer rating. And as we mentioned earlier, or maybe, you know, we didn't mention this earlier. We just did the live stream and I mentioned this on the live stream today. Aaron Rodgers is number 1 in passer rating, touchdown passes and touchdown percentage. So the matchup there for the Packers to exploit the defense, the Carolina Panthers defense, is a pretty good one.
Yeah, it is. I think part of what has hurt the Carolina defense is that the offense has stunk so bad. They just, without McCaffrey, they're just a completely different team. And DJ Moore was out with COVID, I think. And then, you know, they're just not very high powered. They got two wide receivers who can run. And, you know, if you can get them the ball, then great, but Teddy Bridgewater is very much a safe quarterback. He's rarely going to take a lot of chances. He holds on to the ball too long, and he takes a lot of sacks. So I do think that has something to do with their defense being not very well or very highly ranked. But all in all, I mean, they're exactly what they are. You know, that with McCaffrey, he'd be good for probably 3 more wins and they'd be looking at the playoffs. But, you know, they're just a 4-9 team right now.
So likely no McCaffrey. Shouldn't say no McCaffrey because he technically has not been ruled out yet. This defense is going to be facing some very good running backs in the playoffs, depending on how deep they get into the playoffs. How valuable would it be at this point in the season to have experience against a player like Christian McCaffrey, you know, in a game that, even though, yes, okay, the NFC top seed in the NFC is up for grabs, but they've already secured a spot in the playoffs. Is it valuable to have that experience against a running back of his caliber at this point in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think facing him and then Derrick Henry next week would have been great for the defense. I mean, it just would have really told you where you are and how well you're going to hold up in the playoffs, because you're probably going to face a running back somewhere down the line. And they got to find out about their run defense. Their run defense has been better. I think some of the moves they made in this last game due to Raven Green being out actually kind of helped them. And I think they got a chance to be better, but I think that would have been a great test for them. And I think it would have said a lot about, you know, because if they hold Mike Davis to 30 yards and last week they held Adrian Peterson to 30 yards or 28 yards, big deal. I mean, they might get all excited about it and say, oh yeah, we're stuffing the run, but it's not the same. So I do think they're missing out on something not playing McCaffrey.
Mike Davis is no slouch, that being said. He's averaging 42.7 yards per game. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns, where the defense needs to be careful is with the fact that Davis can also be used as a receiver. He's got 57 receptions this season for almost 400 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. How much do they need to devote? How much energy do the defense need to devote to Davis as, you know, that they've prepared for him this week?
Well, he's not a home run hitter. So it's not like they have to worry about, even with Adrian Peterson, you know, there's a chance he could get loose and run for a long game. But this is actually, this is kind of like facing Adrian Peterson. Mike Davis is a bruiser, and he's going to, you know, work on you. He averages what I think like 4.1 yards per play per rush. And so, you know, there aren't a lot of long runs. I think his longest run might've been 25 yards. So he doesn't scare you from that standpoint. You just got to be tough, and he's gonna bring it. And, you know, their tackling will have to be good. But I do think we might see more of the two inside linebackers together in this against this team, just because Davis is a big, powerful guy.
So taking a look at other injuries, notable injuries, also worth noting that starting left tackle Russell Okung is dealing with a calf injury. He did not practice on Thursday, nor did he practice on Wednesday. And he is listed as questionable heading into the game on Saturday. So he and right tackle Taylor Moten have had a pretty solid season. They are together combined. They are credited with only allowing 5 sacks on Bridgewater this season. If Okung is healthy enough to play, how much of a challenge is that going to be for the outside linebackers like, you know, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Zadarius Smith to get some pressure on the quarterback?
Well, he's a solid player. He's not the player he was when he was in his prime in Seattle, but he's a veteran kind of guy. He's Rick Wagner with a little more talent, and he's not going to fall apart. But, you know, they should be able to get some pressure. If Rashawn Gary is healthy, he should be able to work on the right tackle and get some pressures, and they should be able to get some more up the middle as well. So I think this is a chance for them to keep up their sack streak. You know, they just got to make sure that they don't blow any coverages and give Teddy Bridgewater openings. You know, if you can flash and make it look like guys are covered at least for a little bit, he's going to hold on to the ball because they're going to have a chance for some sacks.
We would be remiss if we didn't hit on special teams, because we know that the Packers special teams have struggled over the last several games, maybe save for kicker Mason Crosby. I've been kind, and you know, Crosby should not be lumped in there, but
no.
So the Panthers have a return specialist in Trenton Cannon. He returns kicks, and he has a 98-yard return this season. Did not score a touchdown. However, he did set up Teddy Bridgewater for a touchdown on that play. It's perhaps a little bit scarring now at this point to the Packers special teams to hear of a long return and the idea of having the same recurring nightmare happen. Now that has happened almost 3 times, Tom, in the last 5 games. J.K. Yeah. Scott twice. He had 2 opportunities to make a tackle on a punt return, and that did not happen. 2 punt returns for a touchdown, once against Jacksonville, once against the Eagles. And then Mason Crosby ended up making a big play this past weekend against the Lions and saved another potential touchdown on a kickoff return this time, and was able to get the returner out of bounds. So, I mean, if you're special teams coordinator Sean Menenga, how are you looking at this game this upcoming week?
Well, you gotta make do with what you have. And they are playing with a lot of young players, and those guys are making mistakes. They're getting out of their lanes. They're overreacting. They're just not playing great football. And, you know, part of that is on him too. He's got to get everybody prepared and know what their assignments are. But, you know, he had an injury. I think Chandon Sullivan got hurt, and I think that screwed a bunch of stuff up. in terms of who was playing. I think, you know, they need to gain a little bit of confidence, but, you know, come playoff time, I don't know, they may just have to start using some veterans. If their special teams is really continuing to be give up big returns, they got to think about it. I mean, it's not ideal. You don't want to throw Jair Alexander out there and then lose him, you know, because he gets plastered on covering a kickoff. But at some point, man, it's really a crucial part, and you can lose a playoff game because of it. So I guess what I want to see is just whether they're aggressive. They did play better against last week against the Lions. You know, they covered pretty well up until that kickoff. And so, but, you know, you can't take that away. That counts.
Yes, head coach Matt LaFleur was appreciative and acknowledged the fact that the Packers special teams had an improved game. Randy Ramsey had a tackle inside the 20 on a kick return.
Yeah, he blasted that guy. That was a terrific hit.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, Mason Crosby had that big game, a touchdown saving tackle as well. I tweeted about this and someone responded to me, especially noting the fact that at the Lions still had a 71 yard kick return. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I sort of feel like Menenga's got to find a way to spark them. And maybe it's a fake punt, fake field goal, something to just wake them up and, you know, get some confidence, get some enthusiasm. I don't think it's for lack of trying, but I think, I just think when you've had three long returns like that, two in 2 weeks, you got to do something to shake it up. And you got to get your guys, you know, really feeling like they're a decent team. And so they haven't done anything really special on special teams. All they've done is kind of play defense on special teams. So at some point, you know, you'd think they got to do an onside kick, you know, a surprise onside kick. So we'll see.
Not so special special teams. If you know me, I make that joke maybe once a week. At least. And unfortunately, there has been nothing to show that anything is changing anytime soon. So we'll see how they fare this upcoming weekend on Saturday. So let's zoom out a little bit, take a look at the bigger picture, things that you should keep an eye on around the league this weekend. Big game, Kansas City Chiefs against the New Orleans Saints. And this game has two implications for the Packers. One, and I'll argue that it's more the most important, I think most would agree with me, that the Saints and the Packers are in a big old race for the top seed in the NFC. And the Packers sorely want that top seed, not only to secure the first round bye, but also to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Then on the other hand, there's the consideration that, okay, quarterback Patrick Mahomes is right in the thick of the MVP race with quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Packers fans probably don't want to see Patrick Mahomes have a really great game against the Saints. So what, if you're a Packers fan, Tom, I'm not saying that you are, I'm just saying, what are Packers fans supposed to be rooting for this weekend when they're watching Chiefs Saints?
Yeah, they should be cheering for the Saints to lose, because you don't know, anything can happen in the last 3 weeks. The Packers play a very tough Tennessee team that seems to have gotten its footing back after a couple of blurps, or whatever you want to call it.
A blurp.
Yeah, a blurp.
Great word.
Yeah, I guess it'd be more, that's like a somewhere between a blip and a slurp. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, you know, there's no guarantee they could lose that game. And while it's an AFC game and it won't mean that much, it will if the Saints beat the Chiefs. So yeah, if you're a Packer fan, you gotta have Kansas City beat New Orleans. You need that cushion.
And keep in mind too, the Chiefs beat the Dolphins last week. However, Patrick Mahomes threw some interceptions. He still threw like 300 passing yards and like a bunch of touchdowns. But I think that game brought him back down a little bit and leveled the playing field between him and Aaron Rodgers.
You know, but I definitely would not rule out Derrick Henry on this whole thing too. I people have kind of, at least around here, they forget that a running back could win the MVP, that, you know, Rodgers will always be like a sentimental favorite. But if Derrick Henry gets, you know, near 2,000 yards, look out. I mean, then he's going to be considered the MVP favorite. And what if Tennessee beats the Packers, you know? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, well, and Derrick Henry runs for 232 yards. Well, maybe he's the lead leader for the MVP. So what I think he needs to average like 170 yards, something like that, a little more than that, in order to get to 2,000. And that's huge. I don't know how you could not vote for a guy who gains 2,000 yards.
I've been saying, just give David Bakhtiari the ball. It would be like, it would be the Packers version of Derrick Henry. We saw how fast Bakhtiari can run alongside Aaron Jones when Aaron Jones had his big run against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I think the Packers could use someone like Derrick Henry, and Bakhtiari would be my first candidate.
Yeah, he's all legs. You would want to go for his lower legs, unlike Derrick Henry, who would just like kick you away like you're a gnat.
Derrick Henry is the running back equivalent of an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
that's how big that guy is. My goodness.
Yeah. Yep, he is a monster. But we don't have to talk about him too much till next week. We're going to be talking about him a lot next week.
Well, we will save our breath on Derrick Henry. Yeah, we'll chat about him quite a bit. So yeah, that's what the Packers are looking ahead to this weekend. Couple other like oddities I thought were interesting coming out of this Lions game was that return specialist Jamal Agnew was fined for getting tackled by Mason Crosby on that 71-yard kickoff return, not by the league, but by his special teams coordinator. I don't know exactly. I would love to know how much a fine is internally for something like that, but hey, you can't get tackled by the kicker.
No, he probably has to bring donuts for the rest of the year and to the plane. I kind of looked at it, and he was going out of bounds anyways. I don't know how they could fine him for that. I know Crosby did knock him out of bounds, but I'm not sure he could have stayed in bounds. But hey, I'm not on their kangaroo court. That's for them to solve. But you know what I love about Crosby is he just throws his body in there. You know, he's not afraid. He did get hurt once doing that in Dallas, and hurt his back. I think he got kneed right in the back. So sometimes he needs to be careful, but that was a good tackle.
Oh my goodness, it's something. And then the Lions center, Frank Ragnow, am I pronouncing his last name correctly?
Yes,
he fractured his throat in the first quarter of the game, and he played for the rest of the game.
That's insane. I mean, I didn't even know you could fracture your throat. I don't, you know, is your throat a bone? I guess it's cartilage. I don't know.
It is. I think it is the cartilage that is the issue. And as a result, he's now on vocal rest, which you would think in most positions in football wouldn't be a huge issue, but as a center, it's a huge issue.
Yeah. Although with no fans, you could probably whisper and they could still hear you know, or maybe they can put one of those, you know, those things, I don't, you know, that the singers use to amplify their voice or make it sound electronic.
Like a,
you know what I'm talking about. Like a Roger Troutman, if you knew who that was, many years ago.
Like a microphone?
Yeah. A speaker? Anyway, yeah, that would be tough. I don't see how he can play.
Yeah, that's brutal. So I don't know what his status is. They play the Titans this week. So Packers fans, I guess you'll want to root for the Lions to wear out the Titans before the Packers face off against the Titans this upcoming weekend.
Let me just say the poor Lions. you know, they played their heart out. They really did play hard. They're just talentless. They're just, so many guys were hurt, and, you know, they're just not talented enough to hang with the Packers, but they played really hard. I got to give them a lot of credit.
Tip of the hat to Daryl Bevel. Bevel era, 1-1.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Had some nice plays on that first drive. Schemed the heck out of the Packers. And, you know, people on the blog are always, and they brought up a good point. Why is it that the Packers always have to adjust? The Packers defense always has to adjust to the other team's defense, you know, go to the sideline and make changes. Why isn't it the other way around? And I kind of agree. I think sometimes you got to come out doing some stuff that really shakes up the offense and makes, you know, gives you the momentum. So I don't know.
The Packers defense did not come out that way, especially in the second half, man. There was like four different penalties plus the 12 men on the field. That was a bit of a mess. The whole communication process did not look so hot. So
yeah, some broken coverages.
Yeah, so we'll see if they're able to turn that around this upcoming week. Looks like Jandon Sullivan should be healthy and good to go. So that's good news for the Packers. Rashawn Gary should be good to go. So everyone is we're doing good, everybody. Three more games in the regular season. Crazy stuff. We're glad to have you along with us throughout the entire way. So make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com for all of our coverage, for more podcasts. Tom and I will be back following the game on Saturday night. So you know where to find us. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast as well. For Tom Silverstein, I'm Olivia Reiner. We'll see you next time.